You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Wisconsin Sports Heroics Podcast on the Packernet Podcast Network. My name is Sam Holman. I'm here breaking down some stuff from the Packers' loss to the Titans. As I've mentioned before, I'm going to be doing the show solo from now on, or at least for the time being. McQuaid wasn't able to commit to a full schedule going forward, so we're just kind of, you know, moving forward. Just me as of right now. We're also, as you know, you may have noticed, I'm going to be on a new schedule. The episodes should be coming out Wednesdays. I'll be recording on Tuesdays if all goes well. So that's just a new time to keep in mind for when the episodes will come out. But what I wanted to talk about today, you know, my fellow podcasts hosts have done a great job breaking down just the Titans game overall and you know, a lot of different aspects of that. I wanted to focus on what exactly went wrong with the defense. Because, yeah, as you may know, if you follow me on other social media, on my other social media presences, I'm a big defense guy. I really like breaking it down, kind of learning more about it, and, you know, helping others learn more about it as well. So I wanted to kind of give a summary of what I think the biggest issues were. And what I kind of posted on Twitter earlier today was, you know, that after the game, I felt like a lot of people were complaining about, oh, you know, soft zone coverage and all that stuff. Why don't we play more man? And I think that was part of the issue, but I don't think it was the main issue that really lost them the game and kind of let the Titans put up 27 points. What I think the real issue was, well, there are multiple parts to it. One, I think that ever since they lost Rashawn Gary, they've had to blitz a lot more than they were before when they had him to rush the passer. They can't really get pressure with four consistently, so they got to send, you know, five or more guys. They're doing that more consistently on passing downs. And then two, they have a really limited library of blitzes and pressure looks, right? That wasn't, I don't think, the way that Joe Barry wanted to play defense coming into the year, whether you agree with that or not. I don't think they have a super extensive library of stuff to turn to. And so the blitzes that they have are a little bit predictable, right? There's not a whole lot of variation in them. And I think that what we kind of saw against the Titans was that Ryan Tannehill and that Titans offense, they were able to get to their answers. They were able to see the blitz coming and get to their answers really quickly because they kind of know how these blitzes are constructed. It's not super complex. There aren't a whole lot of coverages associated that Joe Barry runs or a whole lot of looks that Joe Barry runs under unlike someone, you know, like Wink Martindale or someone like that who runs a whole bunch of exotic, crazy stuff. And then third, and this might have been the biggest issue, what was the communication and just passing off routes. There were multiple big miscommunication issues that I saw from the Packers secondary. It wasn't just one player. It felt like it came from all angles. I know Darnell Savage kind of got some of the brunt of Packers fans' criticism. But it was kind of all over the place. There were mistakes made by everyone. So I'm just gonna kind of go into that, break some of that down. I was gonna go over each touchdown drive and maybe some notes from some of the other drives to kind of cover just the, you know, what went wrong. I think what some of the big chunk plays that really killed them, what those came from. So yeah, I'm just gonna dive right into that. So first touchdown drive is the first drive of the game. The Titans, they're trying to run Derrick Henry, all that stuff. But the Packers, you know, got them to third and long early on in the drive. And what happened when they were playing cover one, I believe it was Savage as the robber safety, and then Rudy Ford was playing the post safety. So he's supposed to, you know, stay on top of everything. If there are any deep routes over the middle of the field, he has to mirror those, has to cover those. But what essentially happened was Keyshawn Nixon, who was kind of in as their dime defensive back, He was playing trail man on one of the wide receivers. On there was kind of a deep over, deep post type route, but now let me back up a little bit. So the Titans were essentially running a version of Dagger, which Dagger essentially is a vertical post or nine route from an inside receiver, and then an outside receiver will run a dig underneath that. The theory is that vertical route, that initial vertical route, will clear out the safety and allow that dig to fit in underneath it. But what essentially happened was Ford overplayed the dig route. And this may be some of his inexperience as a starter in the Packers system. Hopefully you see this improve a little bit. I wrote an article the other week about how I really liked what I saw from him in the Cowboys game. So hopefully he kind of gets that stuff cleaned up. But he commits too hard on the dig. And so Keyshawn Nixon, he's playing trail man technique, where he's kind of in the back pocket of the receiver. But that means that without he's supposed to be doing that, because in theory, the post safety should be capping any vertical routes, right? That if the quarterback throws it in front of the receiver, right, Keyshawn Nixon is playing trail man, so that the receiver kind of has a step on him. If the quarterback throws it in front of him, that post safety should be able to make a play. But without the post safety there, it was open. And I believe it led to, I can't remember the exact gain, it was 30 or 40 yards. And then the other play from that first drive that I think really kind of demonstrates that third down and long conversion, that's kind of what I was talking about, where guys are just out of position. They aren't, you know, being where they need to be in the Packers' coverages. And that's been a consistent theme, you know, through a lot of the season. You know, some games are better than others, but it's popping up way too much for a team this far into the season. The other play from that drive that I wanted to mention, that actual touchdown throw, because that was kind of a demonstration of where the Titans were able to essentially find their answers to kind of counteract the Packers' tendencies to blitz on passing downs. So essentially what the Titans ran, they were in the red zone. I believe they had a two tight end set, but on the left side, or on the offense's left, they had an outside receiver, they had a tight end in line, and then the running back was lined up in shotgun. And they essentially ran a flood concept to that side of the field. So the outside wide receiver, he took the corner vertical to kind of take him out of the equation. And then the running back actually ran about a 10-yard dig route. He ran it out of the backfield and then, you know, cut it off on a 10-yard dig route. And then the inline tight end kind of took a flat route. And so essentially what that's trying to do is you're trying to create conflict on the apex defender, which the apex is essentially the guy who's usually defending the number two receiver in the formation. In this case, it was Isaiah McDuffie. They were sending a blitz using one of the safeties. Isaiah McDuffie was playing the seam to the curl to the flat zone. So he's essentially, if there's a seam route going up the field from the number two receiver inside, he was gonna carry that. And then if there's a flat route, you know, if there wasn't that seam threat, if there was a flat route, he would kind of zone that off and take that. And so he essentially took the flat route from the inline tight end, and he had played it really tight. Like, he played it almost like it was man coverage. And so what the Titans were able to do is they were able to throw the 10-yard out to the running back, who kind of snuck in behind McDuffie's coverage. And, you know, I'm not a coach, but just kind of sitting, you know, here in my armchair, just spouting stuff off the top of my head, I think that McDuffie maybe could have been coached to play that from a little more depth, where he's kind of, he's playing off of the flat route a little bit, because ideally you could just, you know, the quarterback throws that ball, you close to make a tackle for 1 or 2 yards. I don't believe it wasn't like second and one or anything. So, you know, that 1 or 2 yard game wouldn't really hurt you there. But he played it really tight, and so that allowed the out route to fit in behind him. So I think, you know, if he plays that from a little more depth, he squeezes the throwing window a little bit more, maybe that ball doesn't get thrown. Instead gets checked down to the flat route. But again, you know, the way that the Titans had basically the perfect call dialed up for what the Packers were running there. And yeah, it ended up at a touchdown. Second touchdown drive, there wasn't really anything that stuck out. I think that drive was a little bit more of just finding holes in some of their zone coverages. So, you know, like I said, I think it was a little bit of an issue where they can kind of get a little bit static. Barry can get a little samey in some of his calls. And so, you know, just mix it up, you know, and throw in some of that, you know, tight man coverage. Though that can be an issue playing the run. You can have some issue with your run fits when you play man coverage on base downs. On the third touchdown drive, it was honestly, it was embarrassing, right? They essentially allowed a 30-yard gain and a 40-yard gain on two separate plays in that drive, which, you know, should not be happening to a defense, especially with this many talented players on it. Before we get into detail about that, just want to take a quick break for our sponsors, so I will be right back.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, back, kind of breaking down some of the stuff that went wrong for the Packers defense. So that third touchdown drive, the first, like I mentioned, there were multiple chunk gains. The touchdown itself was, I believe, there was a touchdown that was a Derrick Henry run, and then there was one that was like a seam route. The seam route was just a great throw. The post safety was a little bit slow to react. I can't remember what touchdown that was, whether it was this drive or a different drive. But kind of what the two plays that stick out. First, it's second and seven. Packers are sending another blitz. A five-man pressure, and what happens is the Titans are running a slot fade to one side of the field, and the corner and the slot player on that side just basically let the fade route go, and it ends up being a 31-yard gain. To break that down a little bit, Savage was kind of over the slot, Jair was over the boundary receiver. It's hard to tell who exactly is at fault. So slot fade, right? The idea is that outside receiver is going to run just a short route to draw up the outside corner. And then the fade route is going to try to fit in behind where the outside corner should have been. But was, you know, he was drawn up by that short route. What I think maybe should have happened is that Jair should have essentially made a smash check. Which smash is kind of that same concept where you're high-lowing the outside corner. But essentially what that call would be was the slot defender, Savage, would zone out to the flat, kind of take that short route from the outside receiver. And then Jair, he could kind of zone back and take that slot fade or smash route or whatever it is, from the number two receiver. That's often how defenses will try to deal with that sort of route progression. But it didn't look like they made that call. Jair, he was kind of squatting on that outside route. And I'm not sure what Savage was doing. There was kind of a underneath route coming across the field towards them. So I wonder if he assumed that Jair was going to zone back and take that vertical route. Because he kind of started to squat on that underneath route. But the end result was that both of them were kind of squatting on underneath stuff. And that slot fade, you know, ran free for 30 yards. And credit to the middle field safety, who I think can't remember if it was Amos or Ford, but they essentially saved it. They might have saved a touchdown with their tackle there. But again, just that miscommunication that should not be happening at this point. And I think it's made worse, you know, by the Packers needing to blitz more because you got less guys in the secondary. There's less room for error. You got to kind of be on top of stuff, especially, like I said, if you're going to be running the same types of blitzes over and over, you got to essentially be perfect, right? You can't mess up stuff like this. The other big play on the drive, you probably remember, it was a Derrick Henry 42-yard screen. Now, that has kind of made the rounds. This Packers just blitzed against that again. And Quay Walker got hooked by one of the offensive linemen. He was running scot-free into the backfield. He might have been able to get the quarterback off a spot and stop that play if he hadn't been held or hooked. But that's another problem with blitzing so much, is that you're going to risk allowing big plays on screens and that sort of thing. And that's exactly what happened here. You know, they weren't able to, I think it was Preston. He was dropping to the flat. And I know Preston in zone coverage. Listen, if you're going to be sending blitzes, you're going to have to drop someone off of the line unless you want to send a bunch of six-man pressures, which is not going to be ideal. But he wasn't able to make a play. He was kind of dropping the flat. He got too far outside, and one of the offensive linemen on the screen blocked him, and Derrick Henry rumbled for a 42-yard gain. Those were really the big plays that kind of turned that drive and got the Titans within scoring position. And then the fourth touchdown drive, believed it was a third or fourth quarter, but that was another 2nd and 7. So what happened there? There was another 30-yard play. But the Titans, they essentially lined up. They on the offense's right, they lined up they motioned to a stack formation. So one wide receiver was on the ball on the line of scrimmage. Another receiver was kind of off to one side, close behind him, and off the ball. And again, they were sending a five-man pressure. So it was Savage and Rasul. They were guarding those two receivers. And again, it's kind of same zone coverage issues with, you know, distributing routes. What essentially happened was the technically the number two receiver. So just to explain the receiver numbering system for anyone who's a little confused by that. Essentially, you number receivers based on how far away they are from the sideline outside in. So like the farthest receiver to the outside, closest to the sideline, will be the number one receiver. The slot receiver, who's kind of the next receiver inside, would be the number two. And then if there's a receiver inside him, that would be the number three. And then you can even go to number four and like, you know, quads formations and that sort of thing. But essentially the count stops when you get to the offensive line. So the number two receiver, so the inside guy, Savage, was essentially supposed to, if that number two guy went vertical in their zone coverage, in their blitz coverage rules, Savage has to, you know, carry him vertical. And then Rasul, he was kind of the outside one-third zone player. Most of the blitzes that they run, I'd love for them to run more man blitzes, but mostly what they run is what's called fire zone, which is three players deep, three players underneath. So it's kind of like cover three, right? You've got the post safety, then you got the two-thirds. The corners are protecting the two outside thirds of the field. And then instead of having four players underneath, you've only got three. So Rasul, he was kind of playing outside third on that side. But the Titans essentially ran, it was, you know, a pretty cool concept. They essentially ran a version of what's called sail, which is a vertical route. And then a route that kind of breaks. It's essentially like a, you know, 10, 12 yard out route. So what happened was, you know, number two was going vertical. Savage was carrying him like he was supposed to. That he was, you know, fulfilling his assignment. But Rasul was kind of getting carried up the field with that route. And when the out route, you know, that receiver running the out route, when he broke out to go to the sideline, Rasul was like 10 yards. He was looking at the vertical route from number two, and he was 10 yards deep, or deeper than the out route. And so there was no chance he was going to make a play on the ball. And so it was easy throw. I don't know what's going on with the secondary, because Rasul is a smart player. Like, you can see it on film. He's pointing stuff out. He's, you know, making heady plays. His interception against Tannehill was exactly that. He was recognizing a concept and going and making a play. He's a smart dude. But just the whole secondary, the whole defense is in disarray at times. And, you know, here it ended up leading to a 30-yard gain. They eventually scored a touchdown on that drive. But it's just really discouraging to see these guys in positions like this. And there are some bright spots. Quay had a great day. There's some nice plays by guys like TJ Slayton and some of those other defensive linemen. The run defense was really nice, really good, really well executed for the most part. But I don't see this kind of miscommunication just consistently this far into the season. I mean, we're in week 12 now, that the Titans game was in week 11, and guys are still messing stuff up. And some of this, I think, is the new frequency of the blitzes, right? The whole thing with defenses is, you know, the whole thing is you get what you practice. So I think that the Packers coming into the season, they wanted to be a coverage team. They wanted to rush for, you know, and with Rashawn Gary, that kind of worked. You know, they had some success. I would say that up to this point, excluding a couple games, the defense had not been the issue with this team. But when you're just going to be playing coverage, when that's what you're drilling all off season, and you're not really concentrating on blitzes or, you know, blitz coverage or different, you know, pressure looks, when you have to turn to that stuff like they do now, you're going to be bad at it, right? You get what you practice. And hopefully, you know, they clean it. I mean, you know, the season's basically lost at this point anyway. There's almost no there's very little chance that the Packers make the playoffs. I mean, it's fine if you want to hope, you know, fan how you want to fan, but realistically the odds are the Packers are not going to make the playoffs, and this season is going to be lost. But, you know, going forward, we might see them clean it up as they get more used to those pressure looks. Who knows? Barry may pull some stuff out that surprises us, mix it up a little bit, but I don't see how you can keep this defensive coaching staff at the end of the year. I don't think they'll fire them in season, if only because I don't think there's a clear upgrade besides Barry on the staff. I mean, Jerry Gray, I know a lot of people like him, but he's at as much fault as Barry is for these miscommunications. I mean, that's probably the number one issue with the defense is his realm of expertise, his responsibility. You know, Barry unless he's like an insanely maniacal micromanager, he's not going to be teaching like every single defensive back, every single communication and every single technique, right? Some of that's got to fall on Jerry Gray, and these constant mix-ups, that's got to fall in part on him too. So I think that at the end of the year, after the season's over, we may need to see guys, you know, get cut. I don't know if it's going to be like a complete exodus of the defensive coaching staff. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. There's a lot that's going to be, you know, it's hard to predict what's going to happen this offseason. But it's just not only the defense just not performing up to expectations with all the talent that they have, but just repeated mistakes in the same areas. There's not really any improvement. And I don't see how this can continue. If this state of things keeps up, that was kind of all I had. I mean, the Eagles game, you know, the Packers, they're going to be hard pressed to make this competitive. The Eagles are really, really good. They've got a good defense, got a good offense, a very versatile offense. It's going to be tough for them. Hopefully they put up a decent fight. I'm not even sure what to say. Just kind of enjoy what you can out of the season. You know, watch some of the young players, Kingsley Anagbare, Quay Walker, just, you know, kind of look at them, you know, look for success from them. Christian Watson, just, he's been excelling these last couple weeks. He's a lot of fun to watch. Just, you know, look for those players that you enjoy. Look for certain types of plays that you enjoy. Maybe you enjoy like watching the Packers run game, and that's just all you want to look at. But just find something that you enjoy. I think if moving forward, at least that's what I'm going to be trying to do. Obviously, you know, whoever's listening can do whatever they want. But and that's kind of all I got for this pod. I want to thank everyone for listening to another episode of the Wisconsin Sports Heroics podcast, and I will see you again next week.